The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the second hour of the programme this morning. It's Donal Kavanagh with you until 12 noon today. Just some of your comments. Caller says, hi Donal, Ireland is a dictator-styled democracy. You vote for a political party run by mafia godfathers who then follow the orders from the Brussels bureaucrats without question to the detriment of the poor Irish citizens. This is all a criminal sham. No one is ever consulted in the least. Democracy is a criminal fraud, says a caller. Caller says, my husband smoked 40 carols a day. We had our third child. He then thought smoke is not good for children, so he went cold turkey. He's off them now 38 years. He said, it's all in your head. And I think every ex-smoker will have their own story. And every person you speak to on this will have their own perspective. Caller says, the game is up on mass immigration as far as the Irish people are concerned. The fact that a referendum would show exactly how people feel about immigration is precisely why it will never happen. As Mark Twain said, if voting changed anything, they would ban it. Well, I mean, if that is the case, then surely the anti-immigration parties will run candidates in the local, and we have local elections and European elections coming up in early June of next year, and we have a general election, if not October next year, at the absolute latest, the next general election is going to be February 2025. I strongly suspect we may well have that general election toward the end of next year, possibly September, October time. It could be within 12 months. So let's just see if that's born at the polls. Could you ask how someone getting disability allowance with no other income was told they're no longer entitled to a fuel allowance because a member of their family is doing an apprenticeship and this person will be getting less on their disability allowance now because this person is doing an apprenticeship? How can this be right, asks a caller. Airtel is becoming a thing of the past. And funny, I was chatting to somebody about Airtel only recently, the text based information system on TV run by RTE, effectively the Irish version of CFAX. I can't for the life of me remember what the ITV version was called. It was Airtel on RTE, it was CFAX on BBC. I cannot remember what the ITV version was. Was it just Teletext? Is that what it was called? Was it Teletext on ITV? Caller says, I haven't used Airtel since Google became the norm back in the day. It was great for news, headlines, football scores, updates, flight details, every count detail in all constituencies at general election time, lamb prices in district meat factories. TG Cahir even had Donegal obituary debts details before RIP.ie. Annoying aspects were that pages were slow to load in areas with poor TV signals and how League of Ireland scores weren't updated until midweek, whereas English League games were updated as goals were scored. Now, I have to be honest and say my immediate reaction when I heard that Airtel was being discontinued this week, my reaction was I thought that shut down about 10 years ago. That be honest, absolutely, that was my reaction. And you welcome back to the 9 till noon show on this Friday morning. Time to talk legal issues, and delighted to go to Zoom and say a very good morning to Seamus Gunn. Seamus, good morning.
Morning, Donal.
Great to talk to you, Seamus. Seamus, I suppose like most people, you're looking at the US, and between Trump and Biden, everyone seems to be suing everybody else. The latest now is Rudy Giuliani suing Joe Biden for defamation over a Russian pawn crack. Donald Trump announcing overnight that he's not now suing his own lawyer, but may sue him again in the future. And it seems to be just a flurry of lawsuits going in all directions now in the US. It must be great fun for someone for you to watch, just sit back and have a nice busman's holiday.
Well, it is a busman's holiday. It is nearly impossible to keep up with. The latest revelation on the Trump side this morning is this allegation of sharing classified nuclear submarine information with some Australian businessman. And that is That has come onto the news, I think, via ABC or New York Times, and they're running with that. Donald Trump was due to give a deposition in relation to the allegation against his lawyer next Monday, whom he was suing for, I think, about $500 million, and he has gone ahead and dropped that. And then you've mentioned the Rudy Giuliani. Effort made by them to counteract that, having recently hit hard, we could say, with the Hunter Biden prosecution for the allegation that he had lied about drug use while buying a handgun. And this came to light really as a result of whenever they seemed to be investigating what were tax allegations. And now they've come in with these, which didn't seem to be to the fore maybe a couple of months back. And then just coincidentally, that's about 2 or 3 days following the again, an impeachment brought in the House of Representatives, being the last great act of the great Kevin McCarthy. They're bringing impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden in relation to a claim about lying about his son's business dealings. So, yes, they are all over the place. Who is winning? Joe Biden came out very hard in Arizona with a heavy-hitting speech, got a bit personal on it, and where he is really pitting democracy on one side and Donald Trump on the other. And he came out with some very, very heavy comments on that, saying about democracy doesn't have to die at the end of a rifle, and it can die when people are silent or don't stand up or speak out. So, and the same tone of that speech was that sort of making the claim that really that's what's at stake here. It's democracy that is at stake. And if you're voting for Trump, well, you could be voting, it could be a far right type vote. So you have all of this playing out. But I have to say this, it seems to me that politically it's doing Trump no harm. His campaign seems to be gaining momentum. He's raising millions. He's probably portraying himself as some form of martyr for the Democrats and using these, what he calls our sham court cases, allegations, claims, charges, indictments, all trying to prevent him from retaking the White House. So that's his spin on it. I don't know, as I've said before, when we come down to it and they go into the booths in November next, when people that are in sort of in the middle are undecided, will that sway it for them? I still have some serious doubts about that. I think the democracy argument that Biden is putting up is fairly strong when you see the type of penalties and the charges that were brought following the Capitol Hill riot and the penalties that have been handed down, the terms of imprisonment that have been handed down as a result of that. That will ring true to people, and I think the middle ground will not be swayed by the Trumpism, and I'm still slightly more towards Biden, but from it's middle America, and it's really now getting very, very tight on it. And as far as politically speaking, and how it's moving, it's 50-50 at the minute. It'll be a difficult one to call, and maybe nearer the time we will do.
As you alluded, Kevin McCarthy is no longer the Speaker of the House of Representatives. That's because he brought through measures at the weekend which effectively averted what would have been a shutdown of public spending right across the US. And he did that because hardliners were blocking the agreeing of budgets because they were saying they were politically motivated. McCarthy brought in a measure, forced it through the House, and then hardline Republicans moved against him. But because he had moved an impeachment motion earlier against Joe Biden, Democrats in the House refused to support him. So that left him utterly and completely isolated, and he's now lost his job as Speaker. So, I mean, this is pervading the legal system, the political system. It's getting difficult, and this is the really maybe, you know, when you look at sort of the three arms of what is supposed to be US democracy, I mean, the lines between the political system and the judicial system are now blurred, if not non-existent.
Yeah, well, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, let us not lose sight of this, is really the third most important man politically in the USA. He would be third in line for the presidency, believe it or not. And also, I heard this, but I will have to check it out. But I heard at some report that Donald Trump has put himself forward as a temporary head for the Speaker of the House of Representatives in the meantime that he would sit in on that. I think that will certainly not fly. The fact that there are indictments against him may very well rule him out, but that's the approach he's taken in it. And you have this gradual, again, this is the Biden argument, erosion of democracy happening, as you're just alluding to there, and these pillars that are always there. The House of Representatives and the Speaker of the House is sacrosanct. I don't believe it has ever happened before. But then lots of things that happened before are happening now, like the indictment of former presidents, etc. And also the charges being brought against a sitting president's son. I don't believe that has ever happened before in the US. So it's a first for many, for many.
A very interesting few months ahead. Let's move on to some of the questions that have been sent in by our listeners, if we may, Seamus. And an interesting one here. Cora says, 7 years ago, my wife had a kidney removed and was later told there was no reason for its removal. I feel my wife has a case for medical negligence. Is there a time limit on when she can take a case?
Well, yes, there certainly is. There's a time limit on all personal injury cases, and medical negligence is no exception, Donald. The period, the statutory period under the statute of limitations is fixed at 2 years, and that is from the time that the incident, accident, or in this case, if there was a medical event, happened. But it can be extended in certain circumstances. For example, if one was a minor, well, then the time would not be run against them until they reach the age of the majority, which would be 18. So that's something to bear in mind at all times. Also, if the person did not become aware that the intervention, if it was a medical intervention, caused this complication until much later in time, that may also extend the time out. So again, that's worth keeping to the fore. So it's something that, which I would suggest that the individual goes along and has a word with their solicitor if they're thinking on these lines. Medical negligence is notoriously difficult, technical, and it's expensive. And the first steps in such actions would be to obtain your medical, all your medical records, and then have them assessed by an expert in the field to which that, in this particular case, there's talking about a removal of a kidney. So you're looking for a physician in that field that will give an independent opinion as to whether or not that was an option at the time and that should have been taken or not. Now, it seems that the individual has a view on that, and they're quite entitled to that. But what they do need is an independent expert to support that before they go down maybe the route of a medical negligence claim. They'll have to keep an eye on the clock. The way the question is phrased, they're saying it's 7 years ago. So I certainly would have some reservations about that. They don't say when they became aware of this or when they became aware that there was no reason for it in the first instance. So that may delay it and may push it out a bit. The other aspect too about the statute of limitations is worth keeping in mind is that when cases go into the Personal Injuries Assessment Board, that's personal injury cases arising out of accidents, slip and falls, public liability, etc. The period is extended out for when those cases are being considered in PIAB, and that could go well beyond the 2 years. But the clock stops once the case is lodged with the Personal Injury Assessment Board. And then whenever they give an authorisation for it to go ahead to proceedings, it commences again 6 months after that. So that's a time period where it goes into suspension, and then it is reactivated, the clock's reactivated 6 months after it comes out of PIAB. So those are just matters that are worth keeping in mind, but certainly the statute of limitations does apply to personal injury claims.
Caller asking, can someone put a claim on my house insurance after they fell on wet kitchen tiles in the house and sustained an injury?
Yeah, well, it comes down to, again, a potential personal injury claim. It comes down to establishing some type of negligence. The way they've asked it, can they put a claim? Well, yes, people can put in claims. They can be spurious claims. They can be vexatious claims. You know, they mightn't have any grounds. They're claims that mightn't stand up in a claim of negligence, either omission or commission, but they can still make them. But this seems to me to be a situation as described as a simple type of slip and fall in a kitchen with maybe a wet floor or wet tiles. Now, my view on that is if the owner takes reasonable steps and reasonable care, and it's within their own home. If somebody is a visitor coming in and they're not aware of it, well, maybe it would be advisable to say, well, look, mind that floor is wet, and that's as much as they can do. There's no fault on the actual floor. If you go into a public premises where you have access to, you're in either shopping or you're out on business and you have an accident and you slip on a wet floor, you'll usually see that there's signs up displaying it, saying, mind the floor is wet, and you're put on notice of it. Now, if in that situation you go in and there's not such signs up and it's camouflaged to some degree that the floor is wet and you're in there going about your business, well, and you fall and have a slip and have an accident that sustain an injury, that could very well give rise to a negligence claim if there wasn't reasonable steps taken by the proprietor. So that's what we come down to when assessing it. What is reasonable in all the circumstances, and then take it from there.
Next question. Caller says, when people are registering their property with Land Registry and employ a solicitor, is it usual for the solicitor not to meet with the client even after 3 to 4 requests to meet to discuss it? Is that usual practice after COVID? Caller seems to be suggesting they want to meet face to face with their solicitor, but they're not managing to secure a meeting. What would the protocol be?
Well, look at in the brave new world post COVID, business and the methods and ways of doing business have all changed. You know, we're in the time now that we're speaking to you on Zoom. You've got a team call. You've got to be on Teams. You've got, you know, there's different ways of communicating. It's up to every firm, practice, or business to run their business as they see fit. The way when the caller's mentioning a registration with the Land Registry, it would be quite normal, I would consider, for anyone working in a law firm who has experience in that line, whether they be paralegal, clerical, assistant, that have the right experience and have also got the authority to deal with it, should be well capable of dealing with such situations. It's up to the management in-house, so I'm not going to comment on what type of management are in place in situations. Of course, if a situation, a technical point arises and people want to meet face-to-face with their lawyer, there shouldn't be, and I wouldn't envisage there would ever be any issue on that. But with regard to Land Registry dealings, Land Registry applications, certainly, and as I said, not only in the post-COVID days, but it's quite normal for well-qualified and experienced clerical people to deal with such matters.
Next question, I'm going to put hand on heart and be honest and say I don't quite understand this. There have been a number of people sentenced under the principle of common design recently. The sentences seemed excessive compared to what the person may have been guilty of. What's your opinion on that? I'm not quite sure what the principle of common design is.
They haven't given the detail that we would need to analyse it fully, in that they haven't given the example. They're obviously alluding maybe to a case. Now, if it is a case, it's not very obviously in the public domain, or what it probably would have. We probably would have become aware of it. Perhaps they're looking back to where we started out, maybe to the USA, where there has been a number of very, very heavy sentences handed down as a result of the Capitol Hill assault in January 2021, and the most recent of those was one of the former leaders, or maybe the leader of the Proud Boys, I think his name might have been Tario or something, Enric Tario. I think he was handed down a sentence of 22 years for seditious conspiracy, I believe was what he was. And that I think, was an old Civil War type of offence. But they have been using the racketeering legislation that was brought in 1961 and 68, which I believe is the legislation they've used to indict former President Trump in relation to Capitol Hill and maybe also Georgia. So, but then the sentences they can attract are very heavy indeed, like 20 plus years is not unusual. So the common design point actually might be also relevant in that scenario, because with regard to the Proud Boys case in the USA, he wasn't actually in Washington at the time. He was ordered out of Washington, but he was supposed to be orchestrating it from afar, so to speak. But it was the common design that he was also, as far as the prosecutor was concerned, fully involved in it and fully committed to it and fully conspired in it. And therefore, he was handed down, it may be a record sentence for such, a 22-year sentence, while two of his cohorts, I think, also got in around 18 years. So that being so, they are very, very heavy sentences indeed. And maybe if they were in an ordinary situation where they were guilty of a breach of the peace, it would attract a much smaller type of sentence in that type of situation. So that, without having the specifics of the actual offence that they're referring to, or the incident that they're referring to, It's difficult to put it much further than that.
As you said, some of the legislation potentially being used in the States goes right back to Civil War days. The next issue was one which is completely up to the moment. Caller says, I need some advice. Someone used my name on a chat group to make comments about other people. Is there anything I can do?
Well, first of all, I think the first step in that, Donald, is to find the source. And to do that, she would obviously have to go and get in touch with the platform on which it has been published and work back from there. The other point I think that would be well worth addressing immediately would be to have it removed. And to do that, again, she'll have to go to the source. But there shouldn't be a big issue about that. But you'd have to, first of all, find out where it has come from. And then if it is false, defamatory, slanderous, otherwise, well, then in such situations, she'd probably have to consult get some legal advice on it with a view to maybe pursuing some type of action in defamation, that being the case. And if it is not taken down readily and quickly by the platform, well, they could find themselves in a very tricky situation also.
One final question. A caller was asking, how is it that the Stardust inquest is happening now and not 40 years ago? I'm completely baffled by the timeline. Now, I know there have been calls, and if I recall correctly, there was an inquest shortly after the Stardust tragedy, and this is a second one. Perhaps I'm wrong there. You can maybe put
no. Me, no, right. I believe you're right. I think that's correct about that. And this, there was a call to have it reopened because people were very unhappy by the manner in which originally it had taken place, and then the inquiry went ahead. So many, many years later, after multiple challenges, the victims have had it reopened, and this inquest is now ongoing. The passing of time has not helped it. There are lots of examples, though, of where inquests have been delayed, not just in Dublin, but all over the country. So we'll just have to watch that and wait and see how it pans out. There is some telling evidence being given on a daily basis in relation to the horrors of the night in question, but it'll be far too early to preempt any findings that the jury may come up with on it.
And I mean, is it that some people may be hoping that this inquest could make findings which perhaps might go beyond what would be the purview of an inquest? That the inquest's purpose is to determine the cause of death.
Specifically prohibited.
But they want to find out maybe who gave certain orders, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Under the Coroner's Act, it's specifically prohibited to associate or to blame anybody. You cannot look into either civil or criminal liability in respect of an inquest. It's an inquiry into the how, where and when the individual died. And it is to be kept within that and not to stray beyond it. And if you do stray beyond it, and I have had some experience of this, the coroner will soon pull you back and to keep you within the confines of the actual Coroner's Act. But how, where and when the individual passed away, those are the critical questions that have to be answered by an inquest.
Seamus Gunn, as ever, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the 9 till noon show this morning. Needless to say, we have way more questions than we have time to give answers to them. But hopefully you've answered some questions this morning, Seamus, and as ever, shared your expertise with us. Seamus, for now, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donald.
The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Before the break, or before Seamus was on with us, we were talking about the fact that Airtel is shutting down in Ireland. And I was trying to remember what the ITV teletext service was called. And as always, you put out the question on Highland Radio, you can be sure you'll get an answer. It was Oracle. And as soon as I saw it written down, I thought that's exactly what it was, ITV Oracle. With regards to the Friday panel, a caller says the Friday panels usually consist of older people who are comfortably established and fall in with the politically correct policies of the day. The working age group squeezed, paying through the nose for everything, no services for their children, no housing, no prospects for young people. The list is endless and our tax money is being dished out pell-mell everywhere else. Then the name-calling far-right, racist, etc. is a handy excuse. That's the perspective of one of our callers. And a caller says, what's this country coming to? Just heard that someone couldn't get fuel allowance as someone in their household is on an apprenticeship. This government needs to get their act together. Talking about young people taking an apprenticeship, I could go on. This case needs to be reviewed. Thank you, a daily listener. And it does certainly seem to be a very strange situation. Now, Let's go back to Zoom. We're going to go to Carndonagh, and we're going to go to Deirdre Bradley, who is the chair of the Carndonagh Traders Association. And hopefully this is going to work out. Deirdre, a very good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
Very well indeed. I can hear that. I think we were having a few connection issues there. But it's great to talk to you. Deirdre, a very interesting development for the Carndonagh Traders Association. You've launched your own personal e-card for Carn.
We did indeed. We're very, very excited about it. We're just moving it another step further. We've had our digital card now. This one here, this is an enlarged version. We've had that now for a couple of years, and it's been proven very, very successful for our community. And now this is another step further, the digital Visit Carndonagh e-card. And it's just been launched there a couple of days ago. So this is another way now that people, say, away or abroad can send a gift instantly. And with this gift, this is supporting all our members and all our shops and protecting all our jobs here in our own community. So it's wonderful.
Now, if I go into my Google Wallet and, you know, I'll just hold this up onto the screen. You know, if I go into my Google Wallet, I have this card and I can now tap my phone. Are you saying effectively there is now, I mean, that one there is a Revolut Visa. You're saying there is now a Carndonagh e-card that people can put into their Google Wallet and pay for things locally, send vouchers to others around the world and contract transactions online with local traders by using the
process. Yes, that's exactly how it's going to work. So the digital e-card can be only purchased via your website, the visitcarndonagh.com/giftcards, where your physical cards can be purchased online or from the Visit Carndonagh tourist office situated in the Diamond. Both cards can be used as a multi-store gift card that are in a closed loop system here in Carndonagh. And this gives you the freedom to spend where you choose, and it can be downloaded onto your wallet, and you can just use it the same as your debit card. You can just tap. So for the generation that only understands tapping, this is a great move forward for us. But also, if you've forgotten someone's special occasion, or you just want to treat someone, you have their email address and you just send them the link, and you get the card, you send them that. They can download an app and put it into their wallet and use the card again, which is brilliant.
And it's just a
way of bringing the technology that bit step further.
And it is becoming more and more popular because, I mean, I think a situation is developing now more and more where people are actually leaving their homes. They don't have any money on them at all. I mean, I was speaking to my now adult children, and they both said to me, cash? I haven't carried cash in years, you know. And they're the ones that badgered me into, you got to get Revolut, Dad, you got to get Revolut, Dad, you got to get Revolut. And they eventually badgered me into getting it. And within a month and a half, I'm going, how did I ever survive without this?
I know. And that's the way things are moving forward. So we see this as being like, we're totally very modern here in Carndonagh now.
Totally.
And we see it another step for people to, another reason for to buy a shop local voucher, support local, because it is so handy. And there's so many of our local generation away now that instead of like ordering it online and getting it posted, which is very handy too, but that generation just goes online, orders, and I mean, they have it instantly and they can download it to their wallet. That's the size of the gift card there. And we can use them in over, I think in Carndonagh, we have over 50 and it's growing all the time. So 50 businesses is going to avail of this, and we're stretching that out all the time. But it's a great way to keep money in our community, and the money's kept in our town and supporting jobs and supporting businesses. So that's what it's all about. We also have Load This Card. So if you want it, you can pop into, there's quite a few places in Carndonagh have them. And if it's anything up to €150, you can load your own card. if you didn't want to go down that road. But yeah. I mean, so there's so many reasons now to buy a Visit Carndonagh card and support our local businesses. And it's so important now, especially we're coming up to, we're in October now, and there's only like 10, yeah. 11 weeks to Christmas. This is a fantastic gift to give for all male, female, even the children, the school children use these as well, because they can use them in the cafes, they yeah. can use them in different places.
It's very important too, from your own point of view as a Traders Association, to be proactive in this way, because we know last year you did suffer a loss, and it's been very telling that, I mean, at the time, I know Greg did discuss it on the programme, that you did sustain a loss and you were on your uppers for a while, but you always made the point right through that whole process, we'll get back on our feet, we'll get back on our feet, we'll be proactive. And I think it says something about Cairn, the way the traders have got together and the way the traders have really pushed this and broken into the digital age in a way that many other towns have yet to do.
Yeah, well, we always said when we started up the traders in 2018, we were going to be a group with a difference. We were going to be doers, not talkers. And the other thing is we've had amazing support from our community, and not just the Cairn community, from all of Inishowen and Donegal community. And we like to support them as much as they like to support us. Our events, we had a festival in the summer. It was so well supported. Unfortunately, we haven't got our carnival this year. But next year, we will be up and running again. And things like the step forward with our Carndonagh gift card, this will help and ensure that doors stay open and that people have jobs. And there's a reason to come to Carndonagh. There's a reason to come and visit and spend the day. So we're delighted. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to blow our trumpet a little bit.
It's our pleasure. And I see you did reference the festive season is coming up in, 10 weeks or so. I still sort of tend to refuse to use the word until November. you are launching an advent calendar promotion as well with some rather tasty prizes on the
We the are, offer. But maybe we will get you to have us back on. We haven't had finalised and launched yet.
That's fair enough.
So maybe in a couple of weeks. It's very exciting. And I know that the community will love it. We haven't got our tickets yet. So in about a week or so, we should be ready to launch it. It is going to be very exciting, and it is going to put us back on our feet again. And a lot of thought has gone into it. It's very festive, and it's all cash prizes. So I think people will be very interested in it. We also have another launch in a week or two. We have launched our initial calendar, and maybe we'll get back on and have a wee chat with you and take you through it all. We're doing it for ourselves. Yeah. We're doing it for our communities and for our businesses and for our community, for all the kids, and so that we can ensure that we have money to keep on going and keep getting bigger and better as a Traders Association.
And of course, you do have the whole Tusnua programme being implemented now in Cairn over the next few years. So, I mean, substantial investment in that. It's, it looks like there's a very bright commercial future for Cairn, and good to know that you're right at the centre of it.
Yeah, and we're very, very proud to be able to say we are at the centre of it. And we do work very, very hard. We're not a massive committee, but we are very dedicated, and we're very, it's all business people. So we know what it takes. We're not sitting back waiting for someone else to do it for us. We want this town to flourish. But also when Carndonagh is flourishing, so is all our hinder towns. And I mean, we couldn't flourish without them. So there's no point in saying that it's just Carndonagh. It is all of Inishowen and further afield. And they're the people that support us. And we're so, so lucky that we have that support. But we have a great wee network here, and we're hoping it's going to go strong. We have our tourists open now 5 days a week, and there's still people around, and there's still people coming in. And our gift cards have exceeded all our expectations. Honestly, we are blown away. But it doesn't come without hard work.
Absolutely. And those gift cards are now available, as we've said, for your Google Wallet. The e-card has been launched. Deirdre Bradley, the chair of the Carndonagh Traders Association, all the best with the venture, and thank you very much indeed.
Well, thank you very much, and have a lovely weekend, and thanks for the opportunity to, as I say, to to promote it. Thanks, Mayor.
It's been our pleasure. Very good morning to you. Just remind you that after 11, we have our entertainment slot, and we'll be joined by Michael Leddy, as always, and also be joined by Thahi Ramsey of Ungrinnan Theatre, who's going to stand in for Fionnuala this morning. And we'll have a good hour's conversation there with a number of recommendations and a lot of erudite and educated comments, and a bit of waffle as well. But sure, it wouldn't be a proper entertainment slot without a bit of waffle. Now, let's look at some of your comments. One question that came in when we were speaking to Deirdre there before the break about the new Carindonagh e-card, and the question someone asked was, do the banks charge you for tapping your card? The response we got is, as there is often no charge or a very small charge for making contactless payments, this can be a good way to use your card without paying bank charges. So if you're using tapping or your phone to make small payments, very often there are no charges, which is good to know. We were discussing the refugee situation during the Friday panel, and caller says, Syrian refugees live next door to me. They're the kindest people I've lived next to in my life. I had Irish neighbours who were drug users, smashed bottles where the children used to play, and other Irish neighbours who had parties every night, and the music kept me and my children awake. With the Syrians, not one single problem. They invite us over regularly to join in with their traditions. We send over selection boxes and Easter eggs. Caller says, as you said, it's too early to say the festive C word. I think Halloween gets totally overshadowed. Rich history there with Ireland and Iha Hana. And it's interesting because I noticed on an advert this morning, one of my absolute pet hates when it comes to adverts around this time of the year is when you get advertisers using the word spooktacular. You know, as though the word spooktacular hasn't been used about 857,000 times by advertisers for 30 years. It's almost as bad as Easter when people say it's an egg-cellent offer. And it's like, oh God, stop saying that like you think you're being original, because you're not. Sorry, I just had to get that out of my system. But absolutely, Iha Hana and the Halloween tradition, we have that for a few weeks. Needless to say, I was in a major supermarket last night, and I'm glad to report that they do have the selection boxes out and the chocolate Santas and all that, and they're out right beside the nuts and the fruits and the tacky plastic baskets with ghosts painted on them in black. With regards to the refugee situation, a caller says, I don't think Ireland was obliged to accept refugees. I think they actually signed up to it, if I'm not mistaken. Don't think Ukrainians are what we have to worry about the most, but the 30,000 undocumented direct provision guests who are allowed to live here, while they're processed, and we all know how that process worked in the past years of delays. Now, what I want to mention before we do anything else, and we'll be going for a break very shortly, is I want to mention Alone. And earlier in the week, Helena from Alone was on the show with Greg. They're looking for volunteers to work with their befriending service here in Donegal. A number of events are taking place, and Alone staff are present. Today, the 6th, they're present in the Central Library in Letterkenny. They've been there since 10:30 this morning. They're there until 5:30 this afternoon. That's today, the 6th. Tomorrow, the 7th, they're in the Finvalley Centre in Ballybuffet from 10 a.m. until 2 a.m. So if you'd like to volunteer with Alone and maybe like to know a little bit more about how that befriending service works, there's an open meeting and discussion with the Alone personnel available, as I say, in the Finvalley Centre in Ballybuffet tomorrow between 10 and 2. And they're in the Central Library in Letterkenny today. They've been there since 10:30 and they're there until 5:30 this afternoon. That's a very important service, and if you can lend a hand with it, it would be very much appreciated.